Replacing the Red Skelton Show, usually heard at this hour, here's a special rebroadcast of the American Armed Forces and their allies, featuring another of America's favorite comedians, Fred Allen. And with him tonight is Portland Hoffa, Hilo, Jack and a Dame, Al Goodman and the orchestra, and as guest star, Jimmy Durante. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Jimmy, that extra coffee people are going to get this year will sure be a boon to radio.
How do you mean, Fred?
Why, with more coffee, people will be able to stay awake during those Jack Benny programs now.
Do people really doze off listening to Jack?
Doze off? Why, Maisie doze and dozy doze, everybody. Doze off, Jimmy. They say that sheep with insomnia count little bennies, Jimmy. Barnyard connoisseurs have told me off the record that. But with this extra coffee, I hear they're inventing a new radio just to listen to the Benny program. It's a combination radio and percolator, Jimmy. It works except when the program is on. Now, if you really want to get
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland, Jesus. Well, Portland, what's new tonight?
Nothing, except what's in the papers.
Well, I've been reading the papers, too. I read mostly from right to left.
The paper said that peroxide is scarce and blondes are disappearing.
Oh, yes. A blonde can establish a bleachhead, but without peroxide, she can't hold it. You have it. Well, Portland, we better, before we find out just how much they will stand for, right here, laughing at something we hope to have next week, are you? Portland, we had better run for Allen's Alley.
Have you a question for tonight?
Oh, our question tonight is, how did the fish shortage bother you?
Shall we go?
As the piece of string said to the finger, why not? I should have brought my chair with me. Portland, here we are back in Allen's Alley. I'll see if Senator Bloat is there.
Yes.
Senator Bloat, what about the fish problem?
If my bill, the Bloat bill, goes through,
yes,
this country will never have another fish shortage.
Well, what does your bill advocate?
Every person who's doing nothing to help the war effort will be given a fishing line and some bait.
Yes.
The fishing lines will be thrown into the water.
When every person who is doing nothing to help the war effort has his line in the water?
With all these jerks, we'll soon have enough fish to feed America. I think so.
Well, I think the Senate is hardly worth the trouble, was it, Senator? From telling those kind of jokes, the Senator's starting to get whiskers on himself there. Well, I think the Senator has something there, and I hope he returns to clean it up. Now, let's see how Mrs. Prawn is doing.
Well, what is it?
Mrs. Prawn, is anyone alive on this program? I would like to...
Well?
We might be the annex to the Smithsonian Institute to come to life here. Mrs. Prawn, did the fish shortage bother you?
No. Every day I sent my husband over to the aquarium.
I see.
In no time, he was back with a mess of fish.
Say, that was a good idea.
Yes. Any time you want fish, send the worms.
Well, we take leave of Mrs. Prawn and see who's in next door here.
No.
Ah, Mr. Nussbaum, how do you feel about this fish business?
Oh, fish I am eating morning, noon, and night. White fish, blue fish, red fish.
What red fish?
Salmon is purple, maybe. Also, I'm eating flounder, skipper, sardines.
In other words, you were crazy about fish.
Oh-ho.
Ship oh-ho, I should take it.
Besides eating, also I'm keeping in a goldfish bowl at Sturgeon. Irving by name.
Irving? Irving was your pet sturgeon?
My little finny pal.
You liked Irving, huh?
Oh, when I'm coming home, Irving is leaping in the golfing ball for joy.
Really?
With the pins he's waving on me.
Gosh.
The caviar Irving is spelling out, oh, Lord, my body.
You were inseparable.
And Phil is coming to fish shortage.
Well, what happened?
Suddenly, there's no fish. For 2 weeks, I'm not eating fish. I'm going shark raving mad.
You were fish famished, eh?
Every night I'm coming home, I'm looking on Irving.
Your sturgeon was still glad to see you?
With caviar, Irving is still spelling out, hello, my brother.
And then?
One night, Irving was gone. The goldfish bowl was empty.
Mr. Nussbaum, you mean?
With cream cheese, Irving was delicious, didn't you?
That brings us to the little weed-covered cottage at the end of the alley.
Bonsoir all, s'il vous plaît. Falstaff's here with Rondelet.
You haven't more poems tonight.
Indubitably. Have you heard, he was just a little pigeon, and yet he had religion?
No.
Or, when his antlers caught in the chandelier, the big buck deer said, Veyersmere.
No.
The stork had come. The doctor used penicillin. 2 minutes later, the baby was whistling.
Falstaff, you have upset everything. Tonight we have been mulling over the fish shortage.
Precisely why I am here. I have spawned a scansion.
You have? What is your poem called?
The whale called a meeting.
Well, how does it go?
The big bull whale said a meeting I decree, and he blew a spout that shook the sea. The fish came in schools, the porpoise and seals, the flying fish flew, crabs hitchhiked on eels. The minnows scurried, the haddock and sturgeon joined the tuna and cod who needed no urgent. When all were assembled, from jellyfish to trout, the whale said, here's what this meeting's about. Fish can't fight Hitler with guns or with powder, but we can give our lives for fish dinners and chowder. Fish are like soldiers, for news we all pine. So to keep us both happy, please, drop us a line.
Well, thank you, Falstaff. And as Falstaff leaves for the Fulton Fish Market to get another inspiration, Maestro Al Goodman rises to welcome Hilo, Jack, and the Dame. The kids sing, Mersey Dotes. That was Just a Dash of Take It Easy, played by Al Goodman, and 25 men whose salaries can't be frozen. They work for salt. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
La-da-da-dee.
What is that la-da-da-dee? You sound like a nil wind blowing through Lower Basin Street.
It's the skater's waltz.
Oh.
Mama and I saw Sonia Honey yesterday.
Oh, does your mother like skating?
I'll say. Mama can do a figure eight.
Your mother doesn't have to do a figure eight. She has one. Your mother looks like a duffel bag that came to life. Your mother on ice.
Mama said you should be very good on ice, too.
Why?
Mama said there are so many cheapskates in your family.
Now, look, Portland, I'm tired tonight. I have had a lot of trouble this past
trouble?
Week.
Trouble?
Yes, there's a housing shortage, you know. The other night, I was sitting home, a strange man knocked at my door, said he'd been walking all over New York trying to find a room. He couldn't find a place to sleep, it was a cold night, so I gave him a drink and let him sleep on my sofa. The next morning, when I got up, the stranger was gone, and he left $3 on the table for room rent.
You didn't know the man?
I didn't know the man at all. I felt terrible accepting money for a favor. I looked for the fellow all day to give him his $3 back, and that night I was depressed. Well, I decided to call on the only man who can cheer me up when I'm depressed, so I went over to that nightclub, the Copacabana. I knocked on this gentleman's dressing room door.
Well, if it ain't my old pal.
Jimmy Durante. Well... Say, this is a pretty dressing room you have here, Jimmy.
Yeah, I had an inferior decorator do the job. The same guy who did Lindy's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Instead of having roses on the wallpaper, he's got meatballs.
It's a pretty shade.
Yeah. It's a gravy pastel.
Gravy.
I was just taking a gander at the fan mail, Fred.
Oh, your fan mail? What is that postcard?
It's a vitamin ad. I'm through with vitamins.
Well, why?
I seen an ad. A certain vitamin capsule will grow hair. That's what it said.
Uh-huh.
I tried them for 2 months. I'm as bald as any part of a grapefruit.
You took these capsules every day?
I was putting them on top of my head.
Well, you're supposed to take them, Jimmy.
Now he tells me.
Say, Jimmy, I saw your picture on the cover of Time this week.
Yeah, they wanted to put my picture on the Reader's Digest. I turned them down.
Why?
People would think Durante was a midget.
Say, what is that, that stack of paper you have there, Jimmy?
These are some jokes my writers left me. Get this one. My girl never wears liquid stockings because she can't get her leg in the bottle. It's no good, Fred.
Well, why not, Jimmy?
My girl can. You know, my girl's got legs like a pipe cleaner.
That thin?
That fuzzy.
Hey, what is that other slip? Another joke you have there?
Yeah, this one is a Lulu. Wait till you hear it.
Uh-huh.
They're making a new picture of the life of Abraham Lincoln. It's called Massey Come Home.
Massey Come Home, eh?
What's the matter, Fred? You ain't laughing. You're letting Durante down.
Well, I'm worried, Jimmy.
Listen, if you're worried about the future, Fred, I know a gypsy who's open all night.
No, Jimmy, I'm not. I just have a little problem. You see, the other night I let a stranger sleep in my place. It was cold. I gave him a drink. The next morning I get up, the fellow was gone. He left $3 on the table, and I sort of feel guilty keeping the $3. I've looked around. I can't find the guy.
Stop worrying, will you, friend? There's only one thing to do with that $3.
What?
Buy war bonds with it. There's a friend of mine down at the Federal Building, Mr. Umbriago. Umbriago sells war bonds.
Well, maybe that's what I'll do.
Hey, the show start, Mr. Durante. You're on.
I gotta do my number, Fred. I'll leave the door open so you can hear it in here.
Okay, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to dedicate this number to that whack who blew me a kiss in the lobby of the Martha Washington Hotel last night. Let's go, Professor.
Now, once upon a time, they sang the Bo-de-yo-yo. But that was long ago. Then everybody started into boo-boo-ba-doo. They got tired of that, you know. I'll give you $50. You show me bloop, bloop in the music. Show me bloop, bloop in the music. Too bad I can't read. But the tune for you and me. Very unnecessary. Is that swingy symphony they call the king? I didn't get it. I didn't get it. Let me hear that man. What a man. Let me hear it again. You know, I was walking down to Fifth Avenue, and I happened to stop into a fruiterer. I bought two apples. You know, the clerk thought he knew a hit when he saw one. He said those apples will cost you $2 a piece. So I gave him a $5 bill. As he was about to give me my dollar change, I said, keep it, we're even. I stepped in the grape. Coming in. Let me hear that band. Mama. What a band that Goodman has got. Let me hear it. You know, last night I walked into the automat, and I put a lead nickel in the slot. And what do you think came out? The manager.
Well, Portland, when Jimmy finished his song at the Copacabana, we made an appointment to meet the next day and buy war stamps with my $3. Well, I got to the federal building first. I was waiting in the lobby when Jimmy rushed in.
Sorry I'm late, Fred. There was a pickpocket with no arms in the subway. He got his head caught in my pocket.
Put the bite on you, huh? Well, all right, Jimmy. All right, Jimmy. Let's get my stamps. This window here says War Savings Stamps.
I'll see if Umbriago is behind the window. Hello, in there.
Anything I can do for you, gentlemen?
Yes, I'd like to buy $3 worth of...
Wait a minute. This guy ain't Umbriago.
Well, what's the difference, Jimmy?
I promised Umbriago, Fred. He's got to make his quota. Besides, if you're a friend of mine, Umbriago will lick the stamps for you.
Well, my delicatessen licks war stamps for me, Jimmy. They keep a wet tongue on the counter.
Gentlemen, will you hurry and buy your stamps? I've got to get back to my book.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm halfway up. A tree grows in Brooklyn.
Oh.
Just a minute, copperhead. Do you realize the gesture my friend is making?
Now, Jimmy, don't bother.
This man rented a room to a stranger for $3. Did he take this money and squander it on wine, women, and jute boxes? No, he's here to put it where every penny should go, into war bonds and stamps.
Now, please, Jimmy, quiet. I'll get my, just get my stamps. $3 worth, mister.
Before I tear them off, one thing.
Yes?
Did this gentleman say you rented a room?
Well, I didn't exactly rent the room.
No, the guy knocked on Mr. Allen's door.
Yes.
I see. Will you both step into this next office, please? Mr. Brownlee.
Yes, what is it, Heselrig?
Two suspects.
Suspects? What is this?
Mr. Brownlee is in charge of the OPA office on rent ceilings.
Rent ceilings?
Quiet, you. What's the charge, Heselrig?
The big one rented a room for $3. He was going to buy war stamps with the money. Then the little one with a cucumber nose started shooting off his bazoo.
That's a lie. I deny the allegation and I defy the alligator. If Umbriago was here, I'd serve the two of you with reprievance.
Now, Jimmy.
I know what I'm talking about, Fred.
Don't lose your head.
I could lose my head and still have more brains than both of these two guys.
Quiet, you. Now, you, the big one. How long have you been operating your rooming house?
What rooming house, Jimmy? Tell this bird.
Mr. Allen ain't got no rooming house. He ain't posing as no bunny face.
No.
No bunny face? There's a housing shortage. Mr. Allen gave this poor homeless wafer a bed for the night.
The wafer left them $3.
Mr. Allen, how much were you renting that room for on April 15th, 1943, when Wentz proposed?
Well, nothing.
Uh-huh. Today you rent it for $3. $3 over the ceiling price. A flagrant violation of the OPA laws.
A flagrant violation? Jimmy, call my lawyer, Salinger and Salinger.
Who needs Salinger and Salinger, Fred? When Umbriago gets here, he'll heave this bum out in the street. A flagrant violation, he says. I'm laughing happily.
Now, look, Mr. Brownlee.
Don't talk to me, you dirty wartime puppeteer. You made $3 profit on that room.
How could he make $3, swollen belly? It was a cold night. Allen gave the guy a drink of liquor. With the price of liquor what it is today, Allen must have lost money.
Liquor, huh? You have a license to sell liquor?
Well, no.
This isn't a case for the OPA. This is a case for the alcohol squad.
The alcohol squad?
You heard me. Follow me.
Oh, Jimmy, if you hadn't mentioned that drink...
Quit worrying, will you, Fred? Umbriago will have these guys on the street with their portfolios dragging.
Who this door, you two? Mr. Ippolito.
Yes, Mr. Brownlee.
A speakeasy case. I suggest you grill these characters.
Now, you, where is the speakeasy located?
I don't run a speakeasy. It was a cold night. I gave this stranger a drink.
Oh, well, if you didn't charge him for the drink.
Well, no.
No, the guy left $3.
Jimmy.
Oh, so you did take money for the liquor, huh? Did you enter this money as income?
Well, no.
Listen, Bud, listen. I can explain the whole thing.
You keep your nose out of this.
All of it?
Yes, yes, all of it. And stop inhaling over my desk. You're sucking up my memories.
Now, listen, I didn't sell the liquor.
Look, Pinhead, this stranger knocked on Allen's door.
Yes. Stranger? You rented a room to a total stranger? You didn't get his name, his address? You didn't ask to see his draft card?
Well, no.
I've heard enough. Follow me.
This is all your fault, Jimmy Durante. I came in here to buy a war stamp. Now I'm getting pasted around.
When Umbriago gets here and sees what's going on, he'll have this jerk down on his knees begging for mercy.
Right in this door.
Now, Jimmy, the letter's on that door. Do you see what I see?
FBI. Who do we know with those initials?
Inside, please. Inspector Toogan?
Yes, Ippolito.
I think these two mugs, Allen and Durante, are mixed up in case 64.
Now, Inspector, there's been a mistake.
Allen, the FBI isn't interested in you small-time crooks. We're after bigger game. Now, describe this stranger who spent the night in your place.
Well, he was around about medium height.
Did he wear a green turtleneck sweater and carry a black patent leather briefcase?
Yes, sir. He wore yellow bicycle clips and carried a neon cane.
Allen... That man is wanted.
What man?
Sabotage Sam.
Sabotage Sam?
The FBI has been trailing this criminal for weeks. You let this nefarious gangster hide out on your premises.
Inspector, believe me.
Fred, let me handle this.
Jimmy, call my lawyer Salinger and Salinger.
This is a case for Umbriago, Fred. Why, when Umbriago hears about this, J. Edgar will personally beat this guy's brains out.
The FBI never forgets a face, Allen. Get under that light.
Now, the FBI doesn't know me.
Oh, no? You won't talk your way out of this rap, Fingers McGonagall.
Fingers McGonagall?
I knew there was something familiar about you. Those long thumbs, those sweeping hangnails.
Now, this is ridiculous. Jimmy, explain who I am. Tell him.
Tell him what, Fingers?
Fingers? Jimmy, you have known me for 20 years, and you take this guy's word?
Fred, he's got an honest face.
Inspector, believe me, I am not Fingers McGonagall. I'm Fred Allen. I just came in here to buy some war stamps.
Inspector, you got to give Allen the benefit of the doubt.
There is no doubt.
Then there is no benefit.
Come clean, Fingers. Where's Sabotage Sam? Where's your gun mall, Jersey Jenny? Where's your brother, Flattop?
Now, wait a minute. I don't know these people. A strange guy came to my apartment.
Now, look, turn state's evidence, Fingers, and I'll get you off with 40 years. If you don't, it's Alcatraz.
Wait a minute, Inspector. You can't do that, my friend.
Yes, I can.
Okay, you talked me out of it.
Now, Jimmy, explain to him. He won't believe me. Tell him a stranger just knocked on my door.
I gotta laugh. This is funny. When I think what Umbriago is going to do to this joint, I shudder. Umbriago is your only hope, friend.
Now, Fingers, perhaps if you see a picture of Sabotage Sam, if you're brought face to face with this low, despicable saboteur, maybe your tongue will loosen. Look, over on that wall, that picture under wanted. You recognize your buddy?
Now, believe me, Inspector. I never saw this man before in my life. I'm innocent.
Well, I'll be seeing you when you get out, Fred.
Jimmy, where are you going?
I gotta beat it, Fred.
Why?
That picture on the wall, that guy's who's wanted.
You recognize him?
It's Umbriago. Go along, Fred.
Oh, Jimmy.
You've just heard a rebroadcast of the Fred Allen Show. And now, as an after-show treat, we invite you to listen to the distinctive rhythms of Raymond Scott and his orchestra. This rebroadcast is a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.